passion, which is writing. But, you know, it's not so much about me, as I was telling Amita earlier. The writing is very personal. It's very self-centered to every writer. And I've been writing for close to 30 years now. That's what I would say. You know, first as international freelance journalist, wrote for a lot of lifestyle magazines in Singapore, Hong Kong, India. And that's as we were traveling around the world. I was raising two small boys. And then we came to New Jersey, and that's where all the doors closed for me in the freelance fiction, in the international freelancing world. And that's where I took up writing the novel. So it was kind of circumstantial that my writing channel changed from what it was to what it's now become. And I started on this one story back in 2001, shortly after 9/11. That's when we landed here. Not the right time or the right place to come to the U.S., but here we were. And I had this story in my head. I didn't know what it was. And I had been a writer for 10 years, so I knew it was not a short story. I knew it was something bigger, something deeper. I didn't know how to go about figuring it out. Spoke to my mom, spoke to my husband. The story would not go away. And, you know, after 2 months of putting it aside, I thought, all right, let's sit down and actually write the story and understand what it is. Well, it turned out that what I thought was a story was actually a series of books. So book one in the Winds of Fire series is coming out on June 2nd. It's up for pre-order on Amazon. And also it'll be available in retail outlets, also on Kobo, Nook, any other sort of device, Apple device that you know, it'll be available. But more importantly, this journey has taught me so much in terms of the people I've connected with, the professionals I have come to understand, the deep aspects of writing and what it means to be a writer and a person with a creative passion. You know, when this quarantine came up, for a lot of people, it was a question of, oh my God, we're stuck at home. How do we handle the situation that we're not able to step outside the house? What do we do with our time? And a lot of people turned old school, went back to things like board games and, you know, watching TV series, which they've been putting on the back burner, binge watching. For me as a writer, I was like, yes, this is what I've been craving for, because what I learned way back is, what every writer craves for is time away from everybody else to be by yourself to write. And when Amita came up with this idea, I was like, well, what better way to help everybody hone in on their creativity than the quarantine? So it's a win-win situation for all of us. So, you know, if you've ever thought about writing, and if you've ever told somebody or told yourself, I'm going to write a book one day or write a story one day, there is no better time than now, the present, to do so. And for many people, it might be a question of, well, how do we begin? How do we start? You know, how do we go about this whole writing process thing? Because it's so ambiguous. Go on the internet, you'll find a million articles. Go to the library, you'll find hundreds of books. There's no shortage of information or material out there. And the question is, where do you start? You know, do you read an article? Do you understand everything and learn everything first and then start writing? Or do you meet with a professional, understand their take, and then start writing? It's very simple. Just sit down and write. And I think I would ask Amita here, who is also a creative person, you know, to quickly chime in and explain her creative passion and how she got started with the sitar, because that's an instrument of a whole, which is a whole other, you know, complex element by itself. So how did you get started on the sitar, Amita? I'm not able to hear you, Amita.
Sorry.
Okay.
I had muted myself. So for me, just started because when I was in school, we had given a choice to pick up an art subject. And I always loved the sound of sitar, and somehow I just got drawn to it. But keeping up with that passion or learning has been a challenge, because in college, we didn't have art. But when I got married, I pursued it. And even in school, like after college, I did my master's. And even then, I don't think so it became a passion as much as it became passion when I came here in US. I had nothing else to do, didn't have a job, didn't have a visa to work on. And I would give credit to my Guruji because he always just pulled me into it. He somehow didn't let me leave it, even after my kids were born, even like, you know, he kept me on. So it comes with the challenges, but I think creativity just comes with time, and that's it. So,
well, that's really nice. You know, it's wonderful to hear different perspectives for any type of art, whether it's performance related, whether it's literature, no matter what it is. I think we all share the same story that anything of this passion comes from deep within. Now, the question with writing is, how do you hone? How do you start? So what I tried to do was to put together a very simple presentation to at least get you started. If not in terms of thought or in terms of writing, at least just to brew the ideas. Because writing is a journey by itself, as is with any passion that you take on seriously. It is a writing. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to share this PowerPoint presentation, which I have. And let's get started here. And I hope, can everybody see the PowerPoint? Can you all see the PowerPoint? Okay, great. So what better time to be a writer than the present? And this is why I'm using the concept of using the confinement to unleash your creativity. Because when you're alone and in solitude, even with it's within family members, and considering our options right now, we're going out is not really something you can do because you're stuck at home. But then what better time to be by yourself than the now? So the workshop is kind of a multi-pronged approach, and we're looking at how to siphon the solitude of quarantine. So how do you draw your strength from quarantine? How do you channel that quarantine into a strength? So if you've ever thought about writing, now's the time. And use that to unfold the writer within. Does everybody feel like that's something that would interest them? Yep, okay. So let's get started. What is story? We watch loads of movies, plays, go to the theater, watch performances. You know, we're watching TV, we're watching Netflix, we're watching masala Bombay movie mixes, a whole bunch of things. In the end, they're all about story. There's always a beginning, there's always a middle, there's always an end, no matter what story it is. So, in a very, very simple form, story is the telling or the narration of an event. It could be true, it could be fictional. If it's true, it could be a biography, your friend's story, your grandfather's story, or it could be an autobiography, which could be your own personal story. Then it could be fiction, and fiction would fall under a variety of genres, anywhere from crime, mystery, thriller, women's fiction, romance, the list goes on, to young adult, to fantasy. But as a writer, that's not something you need to worry about, you know, in the beginning when you're thinking about writing, because that's something that you will look into much, much later. Most importantly is to start getting your ideas down. It's a transfer of information from the teller to the listener. That's the key in story. If we go back to some of the epics, the most common being, you know, the Quran, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the Bible. These are epics that were written thousands of years ago. And, you know, they've been passed on from generation to generation, decades after decades. They're worldwide renowned stories. There's always a storyteller. There's always a story listener. The teller could be the scriptures in the Ramayana. It could be the verses in the Quran. It could be the verses in the Bible. it could be anything, but in the end, it's a form or a medium of communication of principles, values, and morals from an earlier time to us today. And so we are the listener, or the reader, in essence. A listener experiences an emotion and learns something, which is the essence of storytelling. It's not just a series of events or a list of events, A followed by B, followed by C, D, and E. It's an experience, a very, very strong emotional experience, and a journey that you ride through over the course of the story. Think about a movie that has really, really piqued an emotion in some way for you. Something that really made your heart sing. I think the most recent one that really made my heart sing was Gully Boy. You know, that movie just broke all barriers of poverty, wealth. It broke barriers between the previous generation and the current generation. It even broke the barriers of music and rhyme and poetry and what music was before and what music is today, and rap, and how that has changed for many people, whether we're in America or whether you're in India. It's the narration of a story and these different stories which come together and give the experience of this one, the one leading character. That's the story that I remember even today. Ask me to watch Gully Boy, I'll watch it anytime. That's how powerful that story is for me. You may have another story which is equally powerful for you, if not more. Think about this and ask yourself, why is that story so powerful for me? What is it that drew me in? Think about it. The next aspect is a connected series of events which are told through words, imagery, performance, music, or a form of communication. I use words to tell my story. A painter who I was interviewing yesterday for book 5 in the series, she uses acrylic paint and oil paints. She used to use oil paints, but now she switched to acrylic. That's how she tells her story, colors on canvas. When I see her work, I see an image, I see colors. But when she starts to narrate the story behind it, she doesn't just see colors and images, she sees a story behind what is there today. Let me ask you, Amita, when you play an instrument on the sitar, a song, a melody, I'm sure there has to be a story behind it. Can you answer that for me?
Yeah, there is. Actually, you know, fact about Indian music is that every rag has an emotion. Mm-hmm. And once you start playing it, those emotions just come into you because of the way it has been formed. So I think for us as musicians also, like, I'm not a musician, but music or art, they just dwell into you because it's, I would say, a little bit ready-made for us for those emotions. They're already bound us in those emotions, and you just, when you start playing it, you get those emotions yourself. So, and then that creates, you know, your own creativity. That's how I would say music is connected. When you get to that another level, like, you know, Pandit Ravi Shankarji or any other, for them, creativity has a completely different aspect than I would say what it is for learners, for like us. So it takes time. It's not easy. You really have to put yourself into, like, you know, the solitude of being with music or with art or with colors to get the real essence of it.
Well, you picked on a very key word, which I'll be honing in at the end of the presentation, the word essence. So we'll be looking at that as well. But thank you, Amita. So I'm sure all of you can understand now what we mean by unleashing the creativity in the quarantine. Using your passion and nurturing it and using this time to actually go deeper into what you love, which again could be performance, music, or a form of communication. The next part of storytelling, which is fundamental, is it's an essential part of human culture. It's how we learn about each other, our past, and our cultures. So if we look at story from a microscope, what is story? It is, in fact, a connected series of events which are told through words. Real, imaginary, fiction, nonfiction, what it deals with is the past, the present and the future. And in one form or another, it somehow transcends and gives the feel to what our culture has been through in the past, what it is today, and the possibility of what it could be tomorrow. So we're opening doors for tomorrow's possibility. And the strength of stories is they're never ending. A piece of music may end, a story written in a book may finish, but the characters live on with you for a long time if the story has emotionally moved you. So those are just some of the ways that we can begin to understand story and its impact. Now, if we take story as far back as, you know, the Egyptians, and when they started unearthing the pyramids, every pharaoh who was cast in a tomb had hieroglyphics all around the pyramid. And the hieroglyphics were not standard for every pharaoh. It was specific to the pharaoh, the life he lived, and how the people portrayed that he would go to heaven or the next generation or life journey that he had to lead on to. So the hieroglyphics were also very specific to the pharaoh who died, which brings about the word unique, which we will come across later as well. So let's move on to the next one. What is your story? Your story is not your resume. It's not your list of achievements, which, you know, you may think it may be. I've accomplished this, or I've achieved those goals, or these are the highlights of my life. It's not that either. It's not a list of grievances, complaints about life, you know, things that you didn't get, things that you weren't able to do or accomplish. It's not a medical diagnosis for sure, though you may, you know, have a lot of physical problems or ailments that you're going through. It's not a list of those either. And neither is it ground to vent or boast about yourself. So your story is about you, but it's not any of these aspects. So what is your story? Your story is a depiction of your journey. It's following yourself through a series of obstacles, or even one obstacle or a hurdle that you had to overcome in order to get to where you are today. Like Amita, when I came to the US, I was on an H-4 visa, which did not allow me to work. I was raising two small boys, and I was going nuts. We were in New Jersey, where it's cold half the time. And all the magazines that I was freelancing for were not as prevalent on the internet back in 2001, the way they are now. So all the doors pretty much started closing down on me. And my story of how I began writing the fiction novel is simply because all the doors outside started closing down on me. That's where this fiction story began. Stuck on an H-4 visa with two small kids, didn't know how to really drive around New Jersey, and confined to the house. So here we are, quarantine confinement, life comes full circle. And that's where I picked up a pen and I began to write. That is my story. But the essence of that story for me is not the list of things I did, but it's the obstacles I had to overcome in that time period to find a solution to my problem. Go back in your life and think about a situation where you had a huge obstacle you had to overcome. And I'm sure there'll be many, but maybe some will stand out more than others. And ask yourself, how did you overcome that obstacle at that time? And you may want to write this down just to keep it, in fresh and on a page. But let's think about that and stop there and hold that thought. This is the beauty of story. It can be told at any time, any place, by anyone. And story can be created anywhere in solitude. After practice and years of practice, you know, even if there's noise and there's hustle bustle all around me, I've trained myself to be able to write, revise, edit, do what I need to, because I've learned to block off all that noise, which has come through experience. And of course, getting rid of all the to-do lists in my head first. But I also had to retrain myself to be able to control my mind so that I'm able to focus on what needs to be focused. But that's the beauty of storytelling. Whether you're playing an instrument, whether you're writing, whether you're painting. You can do this at any time, in any place, at will, when you have honed in on that passion and you know what the next step should be. So let's look again at what your story is. Now that we've looked at what it's not, what is your story? Because think about this, we tell stories every day. We tell stories to ourselves. We tell stories to our friends. And sometimes when we're thinking to ourselves and we're rationalizing, we're trying to figure out a reason of why we should be doing something or shouldn't be doing something. That is a process of storytelling as well. So we're telling stories every day, almost every minute. The question is, you have to ask, who is the teller, who is the listener? In either case, your story is the travel of the mind to the past, past events, past obstacles, past experiences you've had. And your story is also a venture into the future. The future, for me, means imagination. The possibility of things that can be done and things that I can do given what I have experienced previously. Story is also a culmination of your experiences and thoughts. So that means, from my understanding, all the emotional experiences that you've been through and the feelings that you have developed as a result of them also help you in understanding yourself better and what your story could possibly be about. Story is a conversion of raw emotion into feelings and attitudes. So let's look at this a little bit in detail. Remember we talked about finding an experience or an obstacle that you had to overcome early in life? What did that make you feel? How did that make you feel? So when the doors closed in on me, when I was on that H-4 visa, stuck raising two small kids in a brand new country, the raw emotion that I felt at that time was sheer anger because I was stuck. There was nothing I could do. My visa wouldn't allow me to work. I could volunteer, but at the same time, I had two small kids. So where would I leave them if I wanted to volunteer? That was my raw emotion, frustration, absolute frustration at that time. It led to feelings of anger. So the raw emotion was frustration, but it led to a feeling of anger. That anger feeling then led to an attitude. Now, I was lucky enough to able to channel that attitude into something positive. And I thought, well, if I cannot write for other magazines and other lifestyle publications, maybe I'll start writing for myself. That's what most storytellers do. They start writing a story for themselves. And funny enough, as a storyteller, you are the teller and you are also the story listener. So where you thought you might need two people, in actual fact, it's you alone who is telling, narrating the story and listening to it. But what story does and has done for many, many people is develop a system of beliefs and values. Because as you begin to look at your attitude and what you have become today or what you became yesterday as a result of the feeling, you realize that your beliefs in the world around you has changed and therefore also your values. Maybe your priorities have changed and you would put more priority on something else. This is the power of story. Story has the power to change lives, save lives, and transform society. It all depends on what story you choose to tell and how you choose to tell that story. Now we're going to get very introspective and personal into what's your story. Let me ask you, what made you who you are today? These are tiny nuggets to think about. What made you who you are today? Ask yourself what your profession is. What do you do for a living? What is your family background and experiences? What are the education and institutions that you've attended? So it's not a list. It's not a list of your accomplishments if you're a doctor or a lawyer. It's not a list of the amount of income you earn for a living. It's not about the number of people in your family. You may have come from a big family. You may have come from a small family. And there's no good, there's no bad. There's no right, there's no wrong way to tell a story. It could also be that you come from a small family, but you have a wealth of information to share, or you've come from a big family, but you don't have much to say. So sit back and think about the people in your lives, the key players in your lives, and what they made you, how they transformed your lives and made you who you are into today. Think about your experiences. Think about the experiences you've had with other people, with other events. It could be family events, could have been personal events. Think about those and jot down those which really, really mean a lot to you. Think about education and institutions attended. You could have attended an Ivy League school. You could have attended an average everyday school. It doesn't matter. It's the experiences that you attended in those institutions that count. Because eventually, it's not the academics that make you who you are. It's the experiences you go through that make you who you are. Which is why you're unique. And therefore, you will always have a unique story to tell. Stories are very personal. Stories are centered to the storyteller. Even if he's writing, or if you're writing a story about somebody else, the tone, the style, the voice you use, the syntax, the grammar, the word choices you make, they're going to be very personal to you as a storyteller. And the story will come out based on your unique personality. Which is why, even if the story is about somebody else, it may be very different if someone else told that story. Your story could be about you, an autobiography, in which case it will have the essence and flavor of you as a narrator. You could be writing about a third person, another third person character altogether, in which case the character will take on the flavor of you, the storyteller, or more importantly, you, the storyteller, will take on the character and flavor of the person you're writing about, the character. And that's when stories come alive for fiction. So let's ask, why is your story special? We've already talked about the fact that you're unique, your experiences are unique. Even a pair of twins raised in the same household will turn out to be two very, very different people. They will have the same experiences. They may have different experiences. They have the same parents. They may have different, it doesn't matter. Two identical people will turn out to be two very different personalities, which makes you unique. So the unique experiences that you have had make you who you are today. Therefore, as a storyteller, your story will be very unique and very, very personal to you. Anybody else who tries to tell the same story will say it differently for sure. Which goes back to what Amita had brought up before, the essence of who you are. In storytelling, we're dealing with a lot of psychology and a lot of people, personalities, behavior, actions, reactions. And behavior has to be logic, most times. But then when you ask yourself, are you always logical as a person? You may be, you may not be. But what you have to look into is the essence of who you are when you're telling your story. Take off all the masks that you wear in public. Take off all the personality traits that you portray to other people. And look at who you are deep down inside. What is the fire that fuels you? What is the interest level that has driven your passions? And that will tell you and determine the essence of who you are, the essence of your personality. That is where a story comes from. From deep down within and from the core of your human being nature. Before you connect with anyone regarding your story, you need to know, who am I? Ask yourself, who am I as a person? Who am I really deep inside? What are my passions? What am I hiding? What am I afraid of? What do I love? Storytelling, in essence, is all about you, the author, the writer, coming to terms with who you are as a person, which is why the term bleeding on the page is also something that authors use a lot, because that's when you really just unleash everything and you let out who you are as a person on the page, which is the truth, the hard, stark emotions that you're going through or your character is going through at that time. So just a very simple little writing exercise to get you started so that we're writing on the right path. Remember, we talked about how there's so much information out there that you can go anywhere and everywhere and still not get started writing. So think about, who are you writing for? Well, the easiest is if you write the story for yourself, you know that you're writing this true story. You're not writing something which is fabricated. Even if it's fiction, it's a true story. The way to make your story bleed on the page is to think about an idea that you had, and try and combine that with an emotion, because that's what storytelling is. Storytelling is an emotional experience. To make it compelling, look back in sight, use emotional power and characters to make it memorable and powerful. A lot of good storytellers deal with opposing forces, which calls on you, the hero, or the hero that is, who may be a third person, to dig deeper. With limited resources around you, your hero may be required to take risks and look at different decision paths he may not have discovered before. And in essence, discover a new truth about himself. Story is all about change. It's all about change in people, from where they started at the beginning to where they are now at the end. So how do we get started in writing our story, your story? Identify a key turning point in your life. It could be at birth, death, marriage, divorce, or promotion. It could be something, look at a key factor in your life which happened. It could be 10 years ago, it could have been 2 months ago, it could have been as early as yesterday. But it's got to be something which is so riveting that it forced you to change in a way because of the raw emotion. That raw emotion has to be so strong that it brings and breathes life into the story, because that raw emotion, remember, is what's going to bring about the change in you, the storyteller, or your character. Identify how that experience changed you as a person. So think about that moment, which was riveting, driven with raw emotion, and ask yourself, how did that experience change you as a person? Here's a diagram to kind of make things a little easier. The before, which we have here, and then the after. The emotional experience in the center is going to be the catalyst that changes you, the author, or the character you're writing about, from what he was before to what he is after. So let's take a promotion, a job promotion, for example. At the beginning, even before, there's a certain balance in your life that you must have had, an equilibrium that you may have been experiencing, and all was good. And then you ended up with a promotion. That promotion was a game changer because it elevated you in many, many ways, which led to an emotional raw experience, a very raw emotion, and the raw emotion that you experienced could have been joy, happiness, thrill, excitement, you know, more money in hand so you could go and splurge out a little more. Because of that emotional experience and the happiness as a person, you changed after. So maybe whereas before you might have been an introvert, or you might have been more quiet person, maybe after the increase in monetary gains or the increase in level of status, you became more social and you changed your daily, evening, or weekend activities because you had more that you could splurge on. The change from before to after is what we're looking for in stories. How did you change as a person? Anything that's static is not a story. There's been no change. Story is all about change. Now ask yourself, how did that emotional experience change your behavior toward others? So maybe with an increase and more money in hand, You were able to spend more on others. You became more generous. Not that you were not before, but now you outwardly became more generous. And you were able to share that generosity with other people. That's a change in behavior right away. That's what we're looking for, the change in a person. But storytelling isn't just about one event. It's about a series of events. So let's run that cycle again. What if after you became more ostentatious and you started spending more money, you then started gambling? So your virtue became a vice. You started gambling. You started hanging out with the wrong company. And this is just an extreme situation, but this is what storytellers look for, a chain of events. You started going to casinos more often, and you ended up with the wrong company, and you gambled away your house. Now, what turned out to be a virtue has become a vice. And the cycle has changed now because you have lost out on whatever benefits you had gained before from the promotion. And then, of course, the next series of events followed. Who knows, maybe after you lost your house, you were rendered homeless, or you took shelter with a friend, or your wife or your husband kicked you out the house. It could be any series of events, but it's a continuous chain of events in storytelling where one leads to a consequence because of the event that happened before, and the before, and the before. And if you keep going back in time, that is what story is. We have key words in storytelling, which we use. And the very basics are goal, motivation, and conflict, GMC. Every character has a goal at the beginning of a story. The motivation comes from something, usually an emotional, heart-rendering experience that motivates you to achieve that goal. And the conflict is the hurdle or obstacle that comes in the way. Storytelling. 95% of the time, the interest level in storytelling is how the person overcame the goal to get to the, overcame the obstacle to reach the goal. That's what you're really looking for in storytelling, which is why the before and the after are key, because they're driven by the emotional experience of a catalyst, which is the obstacle also that comes in the way. And I just want to thank you all for that, for your time and attention, and for the presentation, and for listening to me, because, you know, it's the perfect time to be able to hone in on your craft and just use a simple little exercise to get started on the story. So thank you.
Thanks, Anju. That was really great. And hope you have inspired some lot of people to be a writer. I think it's a general emotion for the creation which you portrayed. Even for I don't write, but it just gives you an idea, and you think about yourself and what how are you going to become creative, like in music or something like that. So it's a very general notion on that. So thank you so much for bringing it out, and hopefully this quarantine time would be useful for a lot of people to use to think about themselves. Mm-hmm. And what their passions are, what their stories are, and think about that. They'll be a different person when they come out.
I hope so. Yes, it's a hard time, but you never know.
Yeah. So thanks a lot, and we hope to have another session soon sometimes.
All right.
Okay.